Hello, my name is Craig with Life Care Counseling, and I want to talk to you guys a little bit today about stress. So I know that I had written a blog post about this, but sometimes it's just easier to talk about things that we can get a little more detail. So first things first is our stress response is completely normal. In fact, our stress response, as far as I know, is in every mammal on the planet. Now, that being said, our stress response is it's kind of like a one-way street. Our body, in reaction to things that it perceives as a threat, it can only do one thing. It has one card to play, which means that any time that you feel like you are threatened, like physically, where you might be threatened that you may die, or you may be in a life-threatening situation, or it could even go to a threat whereas there is a threat to your character. So if someone makes fun of my outfit, and I'm very proud about my outfit, my ability to mix and match outfits and colors and themes and all these kind of things, if I take great pride in that, or even just a little bit, then that may be threatening for me, as someone is bruising my ego. So our stress response, unlike other animals on the planet, because we are more sophisticated ourselves, it is more sophisticated. It's more sensitive to things, which means it can go off all the time. And there are quite a few people in the world that go around with their stress response activated constantly. In fact, stress is the number one indicator, or it's the number one reason that people die early, just in general. Whenever stress, which isn't necessarily always a bad thing, but whenever we are dealing with stress in copious amounts for long periods of time, then it actually starts to hurt us even on like a microscopic scale. What'll happen is our cells are designed to split off and to multiply. And there are these ends that are DNA strands called telomeres, or, depending on who you're asking, different pronunciations. But these get short every time that your cell will split in two. And stress seems to have a direct impact on shortening your telomeres a lot faster, meaning that you're likely to die sooner. So stress for a long period of time can be a very bad thing. And sometimes even for the short run, it can be bad. But a lot of times stress can also be very helpful. But I kind of want to focus on the other end of this, whereas like how can we tell that we're stressed out? And on a more practical level, what do we do whenever we're stressed out? A lot of people can tell whenever they're stressed. Surprise, people notice. And you can usually tell whenever other people are stressed too. But what do we do whenever we know that we're stressed? So in order to understand this problem and how to solve it, I want to start talking about our stress response. So our stress response, like I said earlier, whenever we detect threat, then our brain will go through a very specific process to kind of get our body ready to rise to the challenge. Like I said, our body only has one card to play, and that's the stress response. So anytime that there's a perceived danger that the brain perceives, then it will activate the body, which will play its one card, which is the stress response. Now, the stress response can take different forms, of course. Like people have heard of fight or flight, or maybe even like freeze. You may have heard of that, which is in response to usually a traumatic event, that someone might freeze instead of either fighting or fleeing. Now, I don't want to necessarily focus on those responses as much as to that whenever we start to perceive a threat, what happens is our brain sends a signal down to our core muscles. So these will be like in your center mass, this will be your abdominal muscles. You'll have some back muscles that'll also tighten up as well. For some people, shoot, every single muscle in the core gets tightened. And whenever these back, core, abdominal muscles, sometimes people get like their arms will tense, their legs will tense, their feet will. All these muscles that are tensing, it's important to recognize them, But the ones that are really key are these muscles that are in our core that are tightening. Because whenever they tighten, what they do is they pinch this nerve that goes from the base of our skull to our stomach, which is called the vagus nerve. So this is very important that these muscles tighten and they pinch this nerve. Whenever they tighten, normally you're not aware of it. So this happens mostly unconsciously because our stress response can get activated so quickly. So whenever these core muscles tighten up and they pinch this nerve, then your brain will start to release these other chemicals into your bloodstream, such as adrenaline and cortisol. Nice little cocktail of things to wake you up, get you going, and that does a large amount of things. See, whenever your body goes into the stress response, not only does it get stimulated, which means that your heart rate's going to go up, your blood pressure is going to go up, you're going to start breathing heavier. A lot of times body temperature is going to go up, people might start sweating. Now, all these things are normal for stimulants in general. So anytime that your body is stimulated, these things are going to happen. But especially true with the stress response. And the stress response has other things that it starts to do as well. Like, for example, you might be stimulated playing a sport, but not in your stress response, which is very good because if you're playing a sport and you're stimulated, that means you'll be able to do the activity. But since your stress response is not active, then you'll have more control and more faculties to use in your brain. See, that's a secondary function that happens with the stress response is it starts to shut off different areas of your brain. So this is a very key thing because a lot of times if we are responding to some emotional stressor, then our brain will play a huge role in being able to help us solve that. Yet when we go into our stress response, it starts to shut down some of these areas of the brain that we need the most. For example, your prefrontal cortex. So your prefrontal cortex is responsible for all kinds of things. It is one of the last areas to develop, and it develops well into, I guess people might call it mid-adulthood now. So you're talking about the 25, 26 range at least until it's done developing. So it's responsible for decision-making, looking to the future, weighing pros and cons. There's even parts of it that are designed for emotional processing, being able to pick up on other people's emotions using the mirrored neurons in your brain. So it is responsible for a host of other functions. Now, things also get affected will be your speech center, your brain, and your ability for fine-tuned motor controls. So one of the things that a lot of times professional athletes or even in the military, what they'll train people to do is to regulate their stress response because obviously you don't want your fine-tuned motor controls to check out. So us everyday people, we might not necessarily have to worry about that as much, but these other areas that get shut down, they're a pretty big deal. And whenever I say shut down, I just mean that there's less resources dedicated to them. Just because you're stressed doesn't mean you might not weigh out pros and cons or be able to think fairly logically about something. But there's less resources that are being dedicated to that area in the brain. And this is because whenever you go into your stress response, your body's acting like it just needs to survive. And sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. So, for example, sometimes people are really frightened about speaking in front of crowds. Well, this is very detrimental whenever your stress response activates and you're trying to speak and it starts shutting down or taking away resources from this area of your brain that's responsible for you being able to speak coherently. Now, that being said, stress also affects people in a little bit different ways. But the huge piece that I see, especially as far as mental health is concerned, is this part that gets shut down that helps you process emotions. And more importantly, sometimes, is being able to interpret other people's emotions. So I work with a lot of people that have a very hard time regulating and managing their emotions, whether or not that's anger or pain or hurt or anything like that, sadness, that all these different emotions that can trip and trigger your stress response. If I'm really sad about something, that may not trigger it, But if I sense some type of threat in that sadness, then of course it's going to be triggered. Remember, that's the only contingency, is that you have to perceive some type of threat. And a lot of times what will happen in therapy is, especially anxiety management, is being able to help you reduce the number of things that your brain will interpret as a threat. And that's a really important thing as far as reducing the amount of time that you go into stress response. But you out there that may be like, well, hey, like I'm experiencing stress right now, I need to find some way of doing this. So that's the crowd that I want to kind of talk to a little bit more right now, just on a very practical level. What do we do whenever our stress response is activated? So like I said, your stress response, the first thing that you would actually be able to notice, because you got to remember, whenever you perceive a threat, this is happening so fast that it would be so hard just to even stop yourself at that and ask yourself if this is a legitimate threat. But it doesn't matter, because as you already start that thought and you start your stress response, resources actually get started taking away from that logical area of the brain that would help you determine that. So the first thing to notice is that, all right, our core muscles, whenever they tighten up, and we're not tightening up, because you have control over a lot of your muscles, right? Like I can sit here while I'm talking to you and I can tighten up my abdominal muscles, right? So I'm controlling that. But there's sometimes whenever these core muscles tighten that we're not actually trying to tighten them. So that's usually what we're aiming for. So even right now, while I'm talking to you, if you could just like internally monitor your body and check out your core muscles and just notice if there are any of them that are tightened, and like the ones that you're not using, because if you're sitting in a chair or standing up or anything, there are likely some of those muscles that you're using just to keep yourself upright. Now that's fine, but sometimes, a lot of times, what people find is that there are muscles that are tightened that they're not actually using. So like, for example, me, a lot of times whenever I feel stress or tension, it happens in my shoulders. Now, whenever my shoulders get tense, usually that's just a key for me, and I notice that there's other muscles that are tense as well. That's usually the easiest thing for me to start to pick up and notice. So that being said, even as we're sitting here right now, you may have noticed that there are some muscles in your body that are tightened that you're not intentionally tightening. And some of you may do this and you may be like, oh no, actually, like I'm totally relaxed, and that's fine, and that's good, right? So the whole key is to bring into awareness what's happening with our body, especially when we start to get stressed. So for those of you that may have done this quick, what we call this is a body scan, right? Where you just kind of internally check and monitor what's going on in your body. So in this case, we're monitoring those muscles. So one of the things that you can start to do is that whenever you know that you're in a stressful situation, right, you can start to go into your body and do that check to start to notice what it starts to feel like. It's really important that you start to know that what it feels like, and to be able to monitor this on a regular basis. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be constantly be like, oh, well, Craig, I just got to focus on my body all the time. No, it's not like that at all. In fact, the more and more that you do this body scan, the easier and easier it becomes, and it just becomes like second nature. So being able to monitor whenever your body is starting to tighten in those core muscles will give you that heads up that, hey, I'm in the stress response. So a lot of times people do notice when they're in a stress response, because like I said, they're noticing things like, oh man, I'm breathing really heavy, I'm sweating, like I feel like I'm amped up, right, because that adrenaline is flowing through you. Or they can feel that their body is stimulated, they can feel their heart getting ready to pound out of their chest, or they can feel the railroad or the train of thoughts that are just plowing through their mind, and it's so hard to stop. So the goal is to try to detect your anxiety response as soon as possible. Because the earlier that you detect it, the easier it's going to be for you to slow it down and stop it. The longer you let it continue, then the harder it becomes to stop it. So the early systems that have to get engaged are those core muscles in order to trigger the stress response. The more and more aware we become of whenever those start to trigger us, or whenever those start to trigger, then will be easier for us to be like, okay, I need to try to disengage these muscles. And we'll kind of get to that here in a minute. So just to, all right, we're in our body. We notice that these muscles are tight. What do we do then, right? Or if this can be at any point, right? Maybe I notice that my heart is beating really hard, right? Or I notice that I'm in my stress response some other way. What do I do in those moments? So this is actually one of the first things that you do in any type of a good anxiety treatment or therapy is you will start with breathing exercises. So breathing exercises are the most basic and probably one of the most efficient ways of reducing stress. Now, a lot of times when people do breathing exercises, they may not necessarily do them correctly. And we'll kind of talk a little bit about that. So the reason why breathing exercises are so important is that whenever you fill up your lungs all the way with air, now that's a key point, is filling them all the way up and then blowing the air all the way out in a very slow and controlled manner. Whenever you do that, your lungs will expand all the way. And whenever they expand all the way, right, and then they get, whenever you push out the air, they're going in all the way. So you got this contracting and releasing of these muscles around the lungs. So you're actually, you're taking control of those muscles in order to do this. But as your lungs expand too, it will force other muscles that are tightened to relax in order for you to take in all that air, and then in order for you to expire all that air back out. So that's a really important thing, because sometimes it's hard to control those muscles. Now, people that are very in tune with their body, and a lot of times even like professional level athletes or anything like that, they have good control over those faculties and they can take care of that easily. But for us normal people that don't necessarily train very hard, and we aren't necessarily always noticing what's going on with our body, then doing these breathing exercises and doing the body scan beforehand really helps to kind of just get us more in tune with what we're looking for. Now, whenever people do breathing exercises, sometimes they count everything. I'm a simplist, right? So I want you to try the most simple thing. Don't need to count or anything like that. Start out by breathing out all the air in your lungs, right? So you just, every bit. And then breathing all the way in. Now just doing that breathing out and then breathing in exercise, you know, maybe 3 to 5 times or so, and really focusing on that breathing, which is sometimes hard for people, right? Because whenever that anxiety comes on, we get all these thoughts that just start to overwhelm us, and that makes total sense. The more that we're able to focus on our breathing, whatever it may be, I like to focus on the temperature of the air. I like to focus how the cool air coming in and how far I can track it down until it gets into, you know, my lungs, and then the hot air coming out. That's one thing I like to do. Some people like to focus on the rising and falling of their belly as they're breathing in. That's another thing too, is that so sometimes us being guys and girls, we like to really breathe from our chest, right? Especially guys, we like to make our chest look big. Sometimes that causes us issues, right? And we need to actually breathe from the lower part of our lungs. So you have to do something that's a little more unpleasant. And whenever you breathe in all the way, you want to make your belly really big, right? So making your belly really big, while that may be a little bit unpleasant, but that is the proper way to start doing a breathing exercise and to utilize this technique very well. Now, it should be noted that these breathing exercises, they can be done in a very, in a very not obvious way, because, a lot of times when people think of breathing exercises, they're like, oh, everyone's going to notice. And that's not necessarily true at all. You can definitely make it that way. But the breathing exercise is one of the best and easiest ways to do this. Now, the more and more you do your breathing exercise, and the more and more you feel those muscles that are tense loosen up whenever you do this, right? Because you really want to pay attention to what's going on in the body. The more and more you do that, then the easier and easier it will be for you to actually disengage those muscles, even without doing a lot of breathing. But it's really important to have the pair, right? To make sure that your body breathing in all the way, breathing out all the way, and to focus on the breathing, right? Whenever we focus on the breathing, we start to break that mental track, that anxiety mind that throws in all these thoughts, hyper-focuses on all these issues. That helps to slow that process down. Now, the other thing that, and then focusing on the body, of course, because that's relaxing it, right? Anxiety and stress, they're one and the same, whereas anxiety, in my mind, this is how I think of it, and you can think of it however you like, is that anxiety is something that's happening in the brain, and stress is happening in the body, right? So you want to be able to use your body, because your body and brain, they're parallel systems. They work together. And the only thing you're doing right now, whenever we do this breathing exercises, is you're using your body to help regulate your brain, right? To help regulate the thoughts and vice versa, right? As you're focusing on the breathing, using your mind to focus on the breathing, it becomes easier to do the more and more you practice it, all right? And not only are you controlling the thoughts that are going into your mind, but you're also controlling the way that your body's responding to whatever the stressor is. So a lot of times what is very helpful is if you know what is going to trigger you as far as anxiety goes. Like, let's say that I want to use a really simple example, right? Let's say I walk into the dishes, Let's say I walk into the kitchen and there are a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink. And maybe that gives me a lot of anxiety because I really want my home to be clean. And whenever I walk in and I don't see it clean, it just really starts to, it adds to my list of all these things I have to do, and I start to get overwhelmed. So let's say I walk in there. I know that if my kitchen's a mess and there's dirty dishes in the sink, that it's going to stress me out. This is a perfect opportunity. So if I walk in and I see the dirty dishes and I know that I'm going to get triggered, then I can actually pay attention to as it's happening in my body. I can pay attention to my stress response occur. And the more and more I do that, the more and more it will help me be able to pick that up in the future, right? For triggers that may not be so obvious, right? Because there is always a trigger. There's always a cue that starts this process, right? There's always something that starts the stress response, and there's always something that starts the anxiety. So the things that we know are causing us anxiety and stress, we can use to help facilitate a greater awareness of when our body's in that stress response. So like I said, breathing exercises are the fundamental and the basis of any type of anxiety work. That being said, there are definitely other ways, like progressive muscle relaxation is a great way. And this is where you would tighten muscles in a very specific order. Some people go from like the toes and you slowly work your way up from your toes all the way to like your hands and your neck muscles, tightening up all those muscles, your facial muscles, and holding them for about like 3 seconds to 5 seconds or so, and then releasing them. So progressive muscle relaxation does work. It's definitely not my preferred method or anything like that, but it is something that does work for some people. I think that one of the things that really works for a lot of people is being able to reduce the amount of input, right? So whenever we start to get stressed and overwhelmed, is trying to get yourself to a place, whether or not it's physically or mentally, to where there are less things going on. So whether or not that's closing your eyes just for a second and just cutting off that sense, or sometimes people are able to pop in some music. You don't want necessarily fast-paced, action-packed music that'll only ramp up your stress response, right? Slower music, right? Different things that you can focus more of your attention on, because if you focus your attention on something, then it'll help slow down those thoughts and make it easier to do breathing exercises. Because like I said, breathing exercises are going to be the key to a lot of this until you're more able to automatically be able to, you know, relax yourself. Like for instance, whenever I notice that my shoulders are tense, I can force them to relax and I don't necessarily need to do breathing exercises. Although I would always recommend doing at least some form of breathing or monitoring that, just because it is such a good habit to get into, especially for more consistent anxiety work. Now, whenever you do this, a lot of times when we get into an anxiety state, it's because we're overwhelmed by something or we're upset by something. What getting out of the stress response helps us do is it helps us slow down enough to where we can start to really process whatever's going on. Now, sometimes you are in an active, stressful situation. Like let's say that I go to work and my job is very stressful. And if I go to work, my job is very stressful, I can't just up and leave all the time that I get stressed out. So going into work, doing breathing exercises, calming myself down is a good way of starting to help me manage that anxiety, right? That being said, like I said, sometimes it's really hard because as soon as you stop breathing exercises, start focusing back on some of the issues that you may be having, like if we could go back to our example with like at work, then your stress response will start back up. That's completely normal, right? And it does get frustrating for people, but what you're doing is you're basically treating your not only your body, your stress response, and your anxiety, it's almost like you're treating it like a child. And you have to be like, no, that's not what we're doing right now. We're not getting tensed up. And it has to be trained over time. Remember, your body's not doing anything malicious. It's just doing whatever it thinks it needs to do to protect you, right? That's what your stress response there is, to help keep you alive. And the more and more you're able to relax yourself, it helps show it that, all right, this isn't the threat that you think that it is. Like I said, it's a very difficult thing. It can be very frustrating over time. And actually, I won't say that it's difficult. It's something that you just have to keep at, right? It's simple, but it's hard because you have to keep working at it to help remind your body and remind your anxiety and all these thoughts that this is okay. This isn't as big a deal as you thought that it is. And then it will stop triggering you as much. That doesn't mean it'll go away all the way. Like, you know, let's say that I may be able to get to a place where I can walk into my kitchen and there are dirty dishes everywhere and the whole house is a mess and I don't go right into my stress response. And there may be days where I do, but the whole goal is to reduce the amount that we're going into it. Now, there's also a lot of other great ways that people use to manage their anxiety. One of my favorites to use with clients is guided imagery. I love doing that. And you can simply go on YouTube. I'm sure there's different things that you can subscribe to where people kind of talk to you and walk you through things, whether or not it's floating. And usually they have a very soothing voice and they give you images and everything to focus on, all centered around breathing and relaxing your body. Those are very good, and if you get really good at those, a lot of times you can take yourself out of a stress response very quickly by kind of internally going to a safe place in your mind. So all these things I talked about today, the purpose isn't to get rid of your anxiety. For that, it's usually a little bit more difficult. This is just to reduce the frequency and the intensity of your anxiety response. A lot of times, in order to start to reduce anxiety, this needs to be done consistently, and a lot of times it helps to do this with a counselor or therapist. And that's because whenever you start to reduce this anxiety and you start to slow down, it enables you to start processing what's going on, which is a huge key. Because a lot of times whenever we go into our stress response, since it's shutting down so much of our brain, including our prefrontal cortex, that means that we go revisit the event later on and we have to process what's going on. If we don't process, then we get into a state where we constantly we're constantly barraged by anxiety provoking things. This is a lot of times what happens with trauma, whereas you may be just going about your day, then all of a sudden get bombarded with thoughts or feelings that really maybe had nothing to do with what was going on, and which is a really terrible experience a lot of times. So that being said, this is just to help you get a leg up on the anxiety and to understand it a little more, which is really crucial. Your anxiety is not necessarily an enemy or anything, but the more and more we understand what's going on, how our body is being hijacked by it, how it hijacks our mind, then the easier and easier it becomes for us to slow that process down and a lot of times make it so that it cannot take its hand on the wheel of our life as often as it does, right? And hopefully in the process, make sure those telomeres don't reduce too much so we got a little bit longer to live and a little bit more life to enjoy. So I hope that you guys found this helpful. And of course, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. My name is Craig, and this is from Life Care Counseling, or you can visit my website at lifecarecounselingstl.com.